And out of the second chapter, it's already been read in your hearing, verses 3 through 8. And I'll read 5 through 8 again for your consideration. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Supporting scripture this morning coming from Paul's writing to the Romans, a very familiar passage where Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject. If you repeat after me, if you got faith, you got grace. If you got faith, you got grace. It is by his grace and by his mercy that we've been allowed an opportunity to come one more time. And on this first Sunday of the last month of the year, if we would reflect back just for a few moments, just over the last several months, and it seems like it was just a few months ago that it was night watch service. And we were thanking God and we were praying to God and we was asking God for guidance. We were asking God for strength. We were asking God, as many made resolutions, and we realized that a lot of the resolutions that were made haven't been given a second thought. Many, as we began to start out this year, set goals and deadlines and had dreams, and many of those dreams may have been fulfilled. But whatever you've gone through from January up to this present moment right now, God has always been right by our side. We are blessed this morning to have made it through another election year. And again, we celebrate that we have Mr. Barack Obama as our president of the United States of America. A good man, a great man, but only a man. But that man has been commissioned by a mighty God. And I don't care how many go up against him. The Bible declares that if we trust the power of God, what God has for us, it is for us. So whatever it is that God has predestined him to do, no matter how it's fought, it's going to come to pass. He got four more years to do what God put him in place to do. So all we got to do is pray for the president, support the president, and then pray for yourselves. Don't wait on somebody else to do what you can do for yourself. Stop sitting around waiting on a pity party and realize that you are blessed by the best. The only reason that he's there is because he's under the hand of a mighty God. And that mighty God loved the people of God so much that he looked upon the world and realized that something got to be done. It takes a God to make changes. Because when we look in this world, we got all these different denominations, all of these different people in the world, all types of nationalities, but we got to understand that there's only one God. God has the power, Charles, to talk in any language that he wants to speak. And we are able to comprehend what the Lord has to say. I found that the Spirit of God, even though you might not be able to speak a foreign language, the Spirit of God is not foreign. It ought to be familiar to you. It ought to be something that you can recognize. You ought to be able to recognize the power of God in your lives. We got to realize that the same God that we are praying to, we got to pray that God would not only build a wall around him, but build a wall of protection around us. That whatever we may have to go through on this side of life is still going to be all right. As we journey this morning through this winter season, we're experiencing wonderful weather right now. But do know that there will be some cold weather. Prayerfully, there are going to be some snow, some sleet, and some more rain. Going to be some mighty cold days. And on those days that it get cold, you can reflect back on a day like today and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for the sunshine. But isn't it amazing how no matter how God blesses us, we just never satisfied. When God gives us a warm winter, we say it just don't get cold enough. When it get too cold and you get iced in, we say, Lord, I wish you'd warm it up a little bit and let the sun come back out. When the clouds begin to cover the sky and you cannot see from here to there. Oh, Lord, I'm looking for an unclouded day. But I thank God this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. That we're in a time of rejoicing, a time to be glad. We're in what we call the holiday season. Thanksgiving sort of is the major kickoff of that long stretch of holiday. Every other holiday of the year is just a day. Isn't it amazing how Christmas is just a day, but it's celebrated from October to December? Hello? Anybody in here that planned on getting anybody anything for Christmas, you already got something. Anybody that already done bought a gift for somebody, raise your hand. We're going to be a slight Christmas around here, y'all. We either sitting in church telling a lie, oh, we got a whole lot to do in these last 20-some days. But do know that the greatest gift of all has already been purchased. It wasn't at the mall. It wasn't down on Main Street. You couldn't get on the internet and order it online. But this gift came from a mighty God. And the reason why the gift came was because we needed deliverance. We needed to be saved. We needed to be free. So the ransom for our freedom was the fact that Jesus the Christ, he had to be born and then he had to die. We get excited about the resurrection of Jesus during Easter, but here during the Christmas holiday, let us be mindful that it's more than just words when we hear over and over again that Jesus is the reason for the season. Let us get that implanted in our heads and in our hearts and in our minds that if by chance, as we saw the few hands go up, that you don't have a gift from somebody, you already got the greatest gift of all. And if you can't appreciate that gift, if you cannot appreciate the gift that comes from God, what you gonna care about what I give you? Somebody says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. So if I'm not able to buy my brother a necktie, I just hug him around his neck and tell him, brother, I love you. He'll get more out of that hug than he will that necktie. Don't get lost in the shuffle of trying to people please and do things that you cannot afford to do. If there ever was a time that we need to go back to the old landmark, it's right now. We need to start planting some new seeds that is not about what's under the Christmas tree. Thank God that there is a tree. As we celebrate Jesus coming as the Savior of all mankind, all of us to a degree enjoy the commercial side of the holiday. All of the shopping and the traveling and the eating and all of the leisure time. And for those that are working and you get that long period of time off, the joy of seeing our kids excited and happy about things. And we got to understand that we done been so blessed to where we done lost some of the appreciation for things.
That's right.
We're used to things now. Our children are used to things now, so they don't get all bent over and excited. They just act like they're excited. They ask for things that they don't necessarily even want. They're going to play with some of their old stuff. But they're going to ask for some new stuff because it's Christmas and you're supposed to get me something. But when you've been getting something all year long, it don't mean that much to you to get something during that particular time. I don't have time to go back in history. Most of us in here are old enough to know. And we come from that time in life where we appreciated a block behind the stove to build a house. Use your imagination, and you didn't have a real car to roll on the floor. You just get down there and act like you got a car. Get a ball or a bag of marbles and can't wait for summertime. Most of our children don't know what a marble is. Not much dirt left to draw a circle on the ground anymore. But think about how happy we were. Christmas meant something to us. Not only the fact that we're going to get some fruit and some candy and a few toys and a couple of new pair of jeans to go to school, but it meant that the family come together and it be so festive and all of the love that bees in the air. And it just seemed like, as Sister Minister David said earlier, see, people just seem to be a little nicer. Why? Because of the love of a mighty God. So instead of dwelling on what you don't have, let us be mindful to thank God for the things we do have. For I found that as long as I got Jesus, I really got everything that I need. Now, it took me a while to get to the point in life where I understood that. But I thank God that I have arrived to the fact to know that as long as I got the Lord in my life, it does not exempt me from having bad days. But because I got God, my bad days is not as bad as they could be, because God has a way of holding me and cushioning me and making everything all right. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? When that enemy thought he had that knocked you flat on your back and you wasn't going to get back up, but somewhere, somehow, you looked up to the hills knowing where your help come from, you bounced back up and you began to glorify God and you told God everything is going to be all right. Somebody can declare the devil thought he had me, but I got away. Anybody glad they got loose of the enemy? Sometimes you gotta break away. We sit here this morning, many members, but yet one body in Christ. Every one of us have our strengths and we have our weaknesses. We know what it is to have good days as well as bad days. Most of us are acquainted with pain and with suffering. All of us are children of a loving and mighty God. That God that chose us to be his special people. God adopted us into his family as sons and daughters. But in order to be a son or a daughter of God, you got to become a believer. Now, whether you're a believer or not, do know that you are a child of God. I don't care what everybody else calls you. You are a child of God. And God has an inheritance set for you. But what you got to understand is in order to get that inheritance, you got to believe that he is God. Now, God loves us so much that as believers, we know that we are saved by his grace. And then not because we are so special, but the Bible declares it's because of his own pleasure, his own will. It is God's will that we be blessed. It is God's will that we be happy. It is the will of God when he said that I come that you might have life, and not only life, but have it more abundantly. So don't always sit there just because you've been poor. You don't have to think poor. You don't have to act poor. You don't have to act like you always be poor. Because I found out as poor as I am, I'm still rich. Isn't it good to know as poor folk we got something? And we got one of the most expensive gifts that money cannot buy. That gift came because of the love of Jesus. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's the key, is you got to believe in him. Not what you don't do. Not what you've been delivered from. We have folk that think that because they don't do what they do over across town, that their sin is a little worse than your sin. Well, you with your judgmental spirit, you are just as bad as the crackhead walking up and down the street that you've been talking about instead of praying for. If you got a lying tongue in your mouth, you just as bad as the whole-minded man or woman that's out there in the hood right now. We got certain things that we declare that will send you to hell. Let me clarify something. The Bible that I read says all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Paul says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened and brought back to life because of his grace. Dead in sin. Sometimes sin get a hold of us. And even though we have a mind to be free, we seemingly are bound down. But the Bible declares that even in the midst of our sin, God still loves us. In the midst of our sins, God has already made preparations for us to have salvation. Now, there are those that think that, oh, he's not talking about me, but I am. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, now, who is this all? As we read it, as Paul writes, here to the Romans. First of all, he's talking to the Jews. Then he's talking to the Gentiles. Now he's talking to the white man, the black man, the Hispanic man, the European man, the Italian man, any and every man that he ever created. He is talking to all of us. All mankind have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In our shortcomings, it means that we are lacking something from being in the will of a mighty God. So when we look here in the Word of God and we realize that because all have sinned and come short, what would it take for us to get salvation? Well, the Bible declares that no greater love than this, than a man that would lay down his life for his friends. So now I find this morning that in order for me to have salvation, forgiveness comes through the shedding of blood. So now that I'm not in the Old Testament times and I can't go and give a burnt offering, I thank God that Jesus shed his blood for your sins and for my sins and for her shortcomings and for his shortcomings. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus died and bled so that we might be free. Now, Paul says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Grace is just as important as faith because the two work hand in hand. Now, the Bible says, wherein he have abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding, prudence, which means understanding, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he have purposed himself. You're not doing God a favor just because you got a beautiful voice and you sing on the choir. I'm not doing God a favor because he gave me a gift of gab and I can run this mouth of mine. But I am a servant of the Most High God. Anytime you think that because you made a few sacrifices for the cause of Christ that you did God a favor, you are sadly mistaken. Because if the Lord has done anything for you, you ought to be willing to give something back. David said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefit toward me? What can I give back to my God?" The Bible says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trust in Christ. Now, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that verse right there, that's the power verse. That's actually the verse that I wanted to deal with, but I just couldn't get where I needed to be with that. But it was so powerful and it means so much to what we need to know and understand this morning is that I had to be able to bring it in, because when I look at the fact that if we trust God, first of all, we got to hear what God says. Now, how can you hear the Bible say without there being a preacher? How can the preacher preach unless he or she has been sent? So now that you've been sent by God and you tell the good news, I got some good news for you this morning. That even if you don't get nothing in a box for Christmas, you already got the greatest gift of all. I got some good news for you this morning. That even though we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God has allowed his son to die in our stead so that we can have life after death. So if you believe that good news, even if you know it, if you heard it and you believe it, now you got to act on it. That good news is the gospel of your salvation. But then after you hear it, the key is, do you believe it? If you believe in Jesus, then the Bible is declaring that you will be sealed with the Holy Ghost. Now, that sealing is like a guarantee of security. That I'm going to be all right when I don't even know what's going to happen. I'm going to still be all right. Because Jesus said, when I leave this old world, I'll be here and I'll leave a comforter with you. And that comforter would be nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to let you know this morning that there comes a time that you got to trust the power of God. You got to know exactly who God is in your life. And I don't know about you this morning, but I found out that God is the best thing that has ever happened to me in my life. When I look here in the Word of God, the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy and great in the love that he had toward us, he made a way out of no way. And when I trust the power of a mighty God, even though I've sinned and fallen short, God allowed his only son, Jesus the Christ, to go to Calvary and to die for your sin and for my sin. But I found out that my salvation didn't come because of good works. My salvation didn't come because I know what to do. But my salvation become because I got faith in a mighty God. For the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself. You got to have faith in the power of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Anybody in the house got faith this morning? Do you believe in the power of God? The Bible says, by faith you are saved. Not yourself, but it is a gift of the mighty God. I want to let you know that God has given us a gift. And that gift comes from on high. All you got to do is trust the power of God. I want to let you know this morning that if you believe in the power of God, if you got faith, then you got grace. Grace is that unmerited favor of God where he looked beyond our fault. He looked beyond the fact that we were sinners. He looked beyond the fact that we get hard-headed sometimes. And every now and again, when we fall down in the dirt and the mud, God has a way to pick us back up, wash us down clean, and let us know everything is going to be all right. Anybody know what it is to trust the power of God? If you know God down on the inside, all you got to do is have faith in God. I believe in the power of God. And what I believe, God will do what I ask him to do. I believe that Jesus went to Calvary, died a shameful death, so that you and I can have the right to the tree of life. They tell me that they stuck a spear in his side. Blood and water came streaming down. When I think of the blood of Jesus, the Bible lets us know that it's that blood that brings us our redemption. It's the blood of the Lamb that washes us white as snow. When I was down in my mess, it was nothing but the blood that got us up this morning. Something about that blood. I heard that there's power in the blood of the Lamb. I heard that if I have faith in God, I can take the faith the size of a mustard seed and move the mountain of despair. I heard if I have faith in God, that God is a mighty God. He's a merciful God. His truth endures forever. If you got faith, you got grace. If you got grace, you got eternal life. If you got eternal life, you ought to have joy, unspeakable joy. Anybody happy this morning? Happy in Christ Jesus. Happy in the power of God. Say yeah. Say yeah. I'm glad that I'm on the Lord's side. I'm glad that Jesus went to Calvary. I'm glad that he got up out the grave. I'm glad that he got all power in his hand. I'm glad that his name is Jesus, that come to save the world from their sins. His name is Jesus. and something about Jesus. Hallelujah. If you got faith in Jesus, then you also got the grace of Jesus. Grace. God's grace is sufficient for you and for me. And what that means is that because of God's grace, there is nothing that cannot be done. There's no problem that he can't solve. There's no situation that he can't work out. But we have to believe, we have to trust, and we have to know how to wait. Sometimes when we are waiting, the enemy play tricks with your mind. But in the midst of that, don't forget the comforter that the Lord left with you. That comforting spirit. My spirit, I leave with you to comfort you in times of despair, in times when you're ready to give up. Remember, there's something that God has sealed you with. And that seal is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible refers to that as a seal of promise. Yes, sir. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? He is a promise keeper. There is no promise that God has told us that he won't fulfill.